Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 and FY22 earnings conference call of KRBL Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nishid Solanki from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Welcome to KRBL Limited's Q4 and FY22 earnings conference call for analysts and investors. I'm pleased to introduce to you senior members of the management team on today's call. We will have with us Mr. Anil Kumar Mittal, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Anup Kumar Gupta, Joint Managing Director, Mr. Ayush Gupta, Head Domestic Division, and Mr. Ashish Jain, Chief Financial Officer. We propose to begin with updates from Mr. Mittal with the views on the industry, business and broad strategy. He would be followed by Mr. Ayush Gupta, who will take us through the perspectives on the domestic business. Thereafter, we shall have the financial overview presented by Mr. Ashish Jain. After the opening remarks from the management, the forum will be open for question and answer session. A cautionary note, certain statements on today's call could be forward-looking in nature, and the actual results may vary from these forward-looking statements. A detailed statement in this regard is available in KRBL's investor presentation, which is available on the stock exchange website. I would now like to invite our chairman, Mr. Anil Kumar Mittal, to chair his meeting. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, dear investors. India as a nation has done exceptionally well in rice exports in FY 2022, particularly in non-basmati segment, as against a total export of 13 million metric tons in FY 2021. India has exported 17.24 million metric tons of rice in FY 2022, the credit of which mainly goes to non-basmati rice, which has placed India as the largest rice exporting nation in the world. Countries such as Bangladesh, China, Sri Lanka and Vietnam have emerged as new markets. China has become one of the largest markets for Indian non-basmati rice, importing more than 1 million metric tons. There are about 15 rice exporters registered with GACC who are eligible to export rice to China, and KRBL is one of them. We have a decent share of around 12% of this China business. We have remained opportunistic in the non-basmati trade and have indulged in businesses where there are good margins. Otherwise, 80% of non-basmati business in the country is being done with low margin of 3%-4%. Overall, India has been able to capture a sizable share of the global non-basmati business because Indian rice prices are most competitive today as compared to global rice prices. Our major competitors like Thailand, Vietnam and Pakistan have increased their prices due to poor crop. Whereas India has been having bumper crops year after year in the last four years, creating a good buffer with the government of India and the traders keeping the prices at lower levels. That is the reason the Indian government has started offering now 10 kilo rice per month under the free food distribution system instead of 5 kilo rice and 5 kilo wheat. As far as exports are concerned, basmati exports, however, has remained marginally lower in FY 2022 at 3.95 million metric ton as compared to 4.63 million metric ton during 2021. The main reason for the shortfall was due to the lesser imports by nations such as Yemen, Saudi, Iraq, Iran, as well as EU. Moreover, basmati prices increased sharply in the second half of FY 2022, which coupled with a five-time increase in ocean freight rates, had a downward pressure on basmati exports. The impact of Russia and Ukraine war on our business. Agro commodity prices have overall shot up due to the ongoing Russian-Ukraine war especially in areas such as oil, cotton, wheat, etc. The worst impact has been on crude oil prices, which have spiraled up to $120 from $70 a year back per barrel, which has severely affected the logistics cost and other input costs and had an indirect impact on basmati rice exports. However, we must understand that there was very limited direct impact on basmati prices due to this war. As far as Iran is concerned, when we talk of basmati, we cannot forget Iran market. Rice, since it remains one of the largest markets for Indian basmati. As such, there is no improvement in the payment position due to American sanctions. However, the good news is that India continues to export basmati rice to Iran via third countries. Logistic problems, as mentioned above, freight rates are very high, but availability of containers have slightly improved as compared to previous quarter. Warehouses near the ports are fully congested and storage costs have gone 3 times at Kandla port due to wheat exports. After the ban on wheat exports, the situation is getting eased out, but it will take another 2-3 months for it to be normal. Climatic conditions. As is being experienced, North India is reeling under harsh heat wave conditions and everyone is concerned about sowing of kharif crop which is harvested in winter. Here again the impact would be limited on basmati since it will be sown during the rainy season and will be harvested in October-November. Basmati is highly dependent on monsoons, the forecast of which is looking to be good. We are expecting a very large area under cultivation for basmati this year due to the attractive prices realized by the farmers last year. Most importantly, basmati prices have remained firm throughout the last year, which would be a great motivating factor for the farmers to sow more of basmati this year. On R&D front, Pusa Institute has distributed good quantities of seed for seed multiplication as substitute for 1121, now 1885, 1718, now 1849, 1509 variety, now known as 1847, 1401 Basmati rice as 1886, and Pusa Basmati rice at 1677. We are confident that this will bring a good revolution in production of chemical residue free basmati rice because these new seeds are disease and pest resistant. Besides, their yields are also better over these old varieties. Thus, the rice will qualify for exports to countries such as Europe, US and many Middle East nations which have been imposing non-tariff barriers by putting restrictions on imports on the basis of pesticide residue levels, which we will all know do not have any harmful effect as such on human beings. KRBL's strategy and roadmap for the future businesses. As you all very well know, we had a major setback in Saudi Arabia where our distributor had gone financially weak and had been defaulting on payments. We had tried our level best to save the 35-year-old relationship. We had been supporting them for the past 5-6 years in the hope of reviving that business, but in the process had lost badly in terms of finance and market position. We used to export about 100,000 metric ton of basmati annually to the Kingdom of Saudi through our old distributor, but due to the failure of there, we started losing our market share. Finally, we had to take a hard decision and had appointed a new distributor for Saudi market in the month of January. This new distributor is doing an excellent job, the result of which will be seen in FY 2023. We have a very good orders in hand from them and we are confident that very soon we will recapture this market and will grow beyond our previous levels. As regards Iran too, the picture is good since we have good buyers and have made all arrangements through third country to ensure that business is done as per the regulations of law. It is crucial to mention here that we have already purchased lands in Kandla, Bhopal and Karnataka and currently setting up operation in these regions. I would like to correct here myself. We have purchased in Kandla, we have finalized in Karnataka and Bhopal we are acquisition or 25 to 30% has already been acquired. It will take maximum 2 years time to start these businesses, which would help us further to secure and increase our top line as well as bottom line. Towards the end, I indeed happy to let you know that our new generation is doing exceptionally good and is working very hard. It will take little more time for them to rise to their full potential and they are now in the process of gaining professional experience. I am sure that with our concerted efforts and relentless hard work of our young generation and our professionals, KRBL set to march ahead in the path of glory and success. Overall, 2023 will position KRBL in an accelerated position in the arena of rice exports, and I am seeing promising times ahead. Thanks to everybody.
Should we open the full floor for Q&A, sir?
No, I think we need to have the next speaker first.
Okay, sure. Please proceed.
Thank you and good afternoon, investors. I am Ayush Gupta and I head the domestic division for KRBL. I am delighted to share that the domestic rice business recorded yet again a strong quarter performance with revenue growing by 11% to Rs. 677 crores. We have recorded highest ever sales in FY22, wherein revenue increased by 32% to close the year at Rs. 2,648 crores. We continue to lead the branded basmati segment with an annual volume market share of 32.5% in general trade and 41.9% in modern trade. We are sharply focused on a three-pronged strategy of densifying distribution, increasing brand penetration, and augmenting the portfolio. Let me now share progress on each of these three levers. On the distribution front, KRBL already boasts of to have best-in-class distribution infrastructure amongst its peers in the rice category. We are proud to say that we are the most loyal, determined and financially sound distributors in the category. We are now expanding our distributor network by more than 30% in the current financial year to further increase our retail reach and grow the category. In the north and west zones, we are now targeting reaching all towns with a 50,000 plus population with a direct distributor. And in south and east zones, we'll be appointing a direct distributor in all 1 lakh plus population towns. In the past year, our secondary sales coverage increased from 26% to 31%, an increase of 500 basis points. This is in line with our strategy to drive the category through robust active retailing. Increase in secondary sales coverage has resulted in higher throughputs at retail outlets, improved relationships with trade, and better saliency of the brand. We will continue to drive this feature and are targeting to reach 60% secondary sales coverage by financial year 2025. Supply chain continues to remain an area where we can unlock productivity upgrades and enhance cost efficiency. Teams are working relentlessly to explore opportunities and transform processes to make them more technologically driven. Interventions in supply chain, such as implementation of hub and spoke model in strategic geographies, will further help us reduce our lead times to market and will greatly enhance fill rates. Our technology transformation project on the sales front, Project Disha, is now ready for launch and we shall start seeing its core benefits from quarter three of this financial year. The third strategy on augmenting product portfolio, which Anilji has already shared about the non-basmati initiatives. Other than that, I'm happy to share that Unity brand has now officially reached a Rs. 500 crore revenue benchmark, a brand that is targeted for consumers to make the shift from loose to package, grew by 42% in volume terms and 50% in revenue terms in the financial year 2022. Further, we continue to push aggressively on modern trade and e-com platforms. Volume sales through modern trade and e-commerce channels recorded 25% year-over-year growth in financial year 2022. brand equity and quality of products remain the top enablers, which consistently allow us to penetrate this highly cluttered market. KRBL continues to invest in its brands with a dominating 60% plus share of voice on media platforms. At KRBL, our outlook for the Basmati category remains progressive. We believe there is immense scope of growth in both the consumer as well as the Horeca segments of the business. We are constantly evaluating and upgrading our retailing and distribution capabilities to match that to FMCG best practices. I will now hand it over to Ashish, who will take us through the financial performance.
Thanks, Ayush. I will now take you through the performance for the quarter and the year ended March 31st, 2022. All figures mentioned by me would refer to consolidated financials of KRBL Limited. Total income for the quarter stood at 994 crores, marking a growth of 1.8% over the corresponding quarter last year. Revenue from operations grew by 1.4%, wherein domestic sales, excluding energy sales, grew by 11%, while exports de-grew by 19%. As Ayush mentioned, domestic rice sales benefited from healthy volumes besides buoyant rice prices. For exports, although the quarter witnessed lower rice volume than the corresponding quarter last year, realization improved, led by increasing share of higher price point SKUs and general trend in rice prices. Total exports to Iran and Saudi Arabia were lower by approximately 70 crores in the quarter as compared to the corresponding quarter last year. Post-appointment of new distributor in Saudi, offtake resumption is in progress and it should scale up further in the coming quarters. Revenue from operations included a provision write-back of 7.8 crores recognized after a favorable court judgment in Andhra Pradesh for electricity units supplied in earlier years. Overall, better sales mix and higher rice realization led to higher gross margin as compared to Q3 FY22, even as rice cost per ton continued to be higher on account of higher paddy price in the last prime season. This, coupled with higher advertising cost, led to EBITDA margin at 17% as against 22% in the corresponding quarter. KRBL's finance cost declined to 4 crores for the quarter as against 8 crores in corresponding quarter as our reliance on borrowings continues to reduce. To give an overview of FY22, revenue from operations increased by 5% while total income increased by 6% over the preceding quarter. EBITDA margin was at 16% as against 22%, while net margin was at 15% as against 19%. The domestic business, like Ayush mentioned, had a record year with both volume and value rice sales increasing by 32%, while exports continue to be affected with rice volume sales declining by 10% and value by 24%. Total exports to Iran and Saudi were lower by approximately 850 crores in FY22. As compared to the preceding year. So this is the single largest impact from a sales perspective. This was made up by exports to other countries. Lower export sales coupled with higher rice costs were the key drivers of the company's operating performance during the year. I will now cover some balance sheet highlights. Total inventory as of March 31st, 22 was at 2,816 crores, comprising around 870 crores of paddy and around 1,800 crores of rice, as against 2,964 crores in previous year. The inventory this year is lower primarily due to lower paddy purchase in Q3 22 on account of high paddy prices. In volume terms, as of March 31, 22, paddy stocks were at 256,000 tons and rice at 382,000 tons. The company had negative net debt of 389 crores, which is net of cash and cash equivalents of 390 crores and investments of 5 crores. Net debt at the end of March 31, 21 was a positive of 53 crores. So this movement that you see is a direct impact of higher net cash flow from operations, which was at 561 crores in FY22 as against 384 crores in the preceding year. The company's overall liquidity position continues to be strong. The board has recommended a final dividend of rupees 3.5 per share per paid up equity share aggregating to approximately 82 crores for our financial year March 31st, 22. As mentioned by the chairman, a capacity expansion program is underway where new manufacturing facilities are being set up in three states. Gujarat is the first state where a rice to rice capacity of 30 metric tons per hour is being set up. Karnataka is the second, where a paddy to rice capacity of 10 metric tons per hour is being set up, and Madhya Pradesh with capacity same as that in Karnataka. As the chairman had mentioned, land for Gujarat project was acquired in FY22 and plant construction is underway. Land acquisition formalities for Karnataka project are under process, while land has been identified for Madhya Pradesh and part of the acquisition has begun. Gujarat and Karnataka facilities are likely to go live in FY24, resulting in incremental initial annualized revenue run rate of 400 crores per annum together. MP facility is expected to go live in FY25. Total capex before taking the benefit of any government capital subsidies is approximately 200 crores. Of this, approximately 15 crores was incurred in FY22 and balance is expected to be incurred in the current financial year. Karnataka facility is going to be based in the key rice region of Gangavati and will focus exclusively on the non-basmati opportunity, while the other two facilities will focus on basmati and non-basmati. With that, I come to the end of my prepared remarks. I will now like to hand over to the moderator for opening the Q&A session. I would just like to mention that as the ET matter is sub judice, we will not be in a position to respond to queries on this matter. So over to the moderator now.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Jayant Mamania from Care Portfolio Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congratulations for the better set of numbers this time. So my first question is regarding domestic sales. We grew by 30% this year. So can you bifurcate the sales between from new distributors, existing distributors, new geography, and what kind of growth we are expecting in the current year?
So frankly, that data is not available at the moment. However, as I told you, that we are looking at 30% distributor expansion in the upcoming financial year. So bulk of our growth going forward will come from new distributors, but we don't have that data of how much growth came from new distributors in the years gone by.
So what would be our sales from non-basmati segment and that health-related products like quinoa, flaxseed and chia seeds?
See, non-basmati and the health segment currently contribute less than 3% of our overall top-line number. So, as we told you that non-basmati, we are making strategic investments in regional plants in Karnataka, in Gangavati, in MP, and maybe in Maharashtra going forward. So, we are expecting non-basmati to contribute to a significant 10 to 15% or revenue contribution in their initial years. Health segment is a very, very niche category at the moment, and we won't be anticipating more than 1% overall revenue contribution from that, unless until we look into more penetrated health categories, which is still under planning, I would say.
So what kind of growth are we expecting in domestic market for the FY23?
We generally don't give guidance, but I think from what we see, the rice prices are holding up and the demand is also buoyant. So while we can't give a number, but we're positive about the current year.
So can you tell us what kind of price rise we have taken during this Q4?
Price increase.
Or the average realization in Q4 and as compared to corresponding quarter?
We've increased prices by 7 to 8% in quarter four, and purely basis increase in commodity prices and input costs, these prices increments have been taken.
Okay. The last question: last year we lost sales of around 850 crores by not exporting to Saudi Arabia and Iran. So how much time will it take to recoup that?
See, as far as Saudi is concerned, I think so. Whatever is our target this year, we will be able to complete 50%. When we say 100,000, 120,000 a year, this year we should be, in FY23, should be doing about 60,000 ton out of 120, and 120 will complete in FY24. Because he's a new distributor doing very well, and we have yet to appoint a distributor for HoReCa segment. That we are not able to locate a good distributor, and I'm quite sure within next 1 month we'll be able to locate the HoReCa segment distributor in Saudi. So the total export to Saudi would be around 130,000. As far as Iran is concerned, for last 8-9 months we were keeping silent because we were much worried about the government and banks regulations. Now we are able to conclude certain businesses with Iran because under the guidance of State Bank and other financial institution, where our guideline for the payment is crystal clear, and so we have decided to do that business and we have got some orders.
Sir, with increased sales from Saudi Arabia in the current year and opening up of Iran, can we expect better margins this year?
Yeah, margins would be better also, and the top line would. I am expecting a top line of minimum 700 crores, 600 crores. Only from Iran and Saudi.
Okay. Thank you. That's all from my side. All the.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mohit Khanna from Banyan Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon. Am I audible, right?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes. So my question was pertaining to the inventory valuations. How this number for inventory, because we have had less purchases during the third quarter, the inventory number has gone down. How is that, valuations compared to as of today in terms of the current paddy pricing, paddy and rice pricing? That will be both my first and come back.
Yeah, what we are holding today, the stock inventory of 2,800 crore, if we compare with the market value, it is just 80% of the market value. I mean, there's the incremental value of 500 crores in the stock.
Fair enough. Also, sir, the other expenses in this quarter seems to have, increased as compared to the previous quarter. So what is the reason for that, and how should we look for it going forward?
Yeah, so, the largest chunk of the increase that you see is on account of freight on sales, and the biggest chunk of that is on account of freight on exports. But that, as you know, we pass on in our sales price. So while it comes as an expensive and bloats up other expenses, but it is actually factored in the realization. Now, like the chairman said, the situation is improving. So with that, you should see this head coming down in future.
Good. Fair enough. Because I was asking this because the gross margins have gone down a little bit as compared to the EBITDA margins, which is down by around 5%
year over year. Yes. Yeah, so that one is freight, and the other is also there is a quarter-on-quarter and year-on-year increase in advertising, which is primarily on the domestic side. So these are the two reasons why you see other expenses up.
So should we expect the ad expenses to be at the same level or should increase any target number on the percentage of sales that you have for advertisement, brand building for FY23, sir?
Sure. So ad expenses will remain same proportionately. And while the freight cost will depend upon how the freight rates pan out, but generally we should see benefits there.
Thank you so much. I'll come back to you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pritesh Chheda from Lucky Investment. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir, what is the total basmati volumes that we would have done or rice volumes that you would have done for 22?
See, we are not disclosing sales volume, because it tends to be sensitive from a realization point of view. I had shared the total, and is there in the deck also, we have given out the total value sales for domestic and export. But that's not split into basmati or non-basmati.
So you won't be even comfortable to share the total volume?
No.
No split required for that. Okay. You know, the other question was, and did I hear it correctly, that we will recoup the 600 to 700 crore sale of Saudi plus Iran this year, where we have, you know, lost about 800-850 crore of sale. This 800-850 crore of sale would have been lost over a couple of years, right? From whatever 4,400 crores that we did 2 years back.
Yeah, so let me explain what 850 crore is. You know, this is the difference in sales to the two countries between FY21 and 22. So the sales in FY22 in these two countries were lower by 850 crores.
And we are confident that we will recoup this because we have orders in hand. New distributor in Saudi is doing very well and we are quite confident that he will be able to do a turnover, a top line of not less than 350 to 400 crores, and we are in the process of finalizing another distributor in Saudi who will be exclusively dealing with Horeca segment. So these are the two, when that also comes into, when we finalize and decide on that distributor, the total sales alone to Saudi Arabia would be about 700 crore rupees, and Iran would be another 400 to 500 crore rupees.
Okay. So what is the differential gross margins in export business vis-a-vis domestic business?
See, I think Anupji had answered it in one of the calls. Typically in export, the realization tends to be about 5% higher than the domestic realization.
Okay. Okay. 5%. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Darshan Deora from Invest Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, I had two questions. The first question was, what percentage of our sales would be non-basmati rice? Export sales?
About, it is roughly about 18% to 20%. 18%. Because we have done a quite chunk of business, 12% alone to China, and other than China also we have done certain businesses with Bangladesh and all other countries. So overall it will be about 20% business.
Is there a concern regarding a potential ban on export of non-basmati rice?
See, let me tell you, as far as my information is concerned, I was on Friday, I had gone to the Ministry of Commerce. They have got no plan as far as non-basmati ban is concerned. And the reason is that government has surplus stocks of rice. They are depleting stocks of wheat. So they have banned the wheat exports. But non-basmati rice, they have sufficient stocks. But you can't guess anything from the government, anything can happen. But at least for 3-4 months, I don't see no future of banning the exports of rice.
Okay. The second question I had was regarding, the gross margins. Generally speaking, the aged rice and the prices of rice were obviously lower a couple of years back versus what the current market prices are. So shouldn't we be having, shouldn't our gross margins be expanding and we should be having inventory gains, from the fact that we have, we hold inventory from, which is lower price inventory from a couple of years ago?
You see, that is why if you see quarter one, quarter two and quarter four, the margins are to the tune of 17-18, I mean the IB data. Only our quarter three got hurt and it was only, I think, 11%. That is the reason why the whole year EBITDA is about 17%. Otherwise, this 17% EBITDA as far as rice industry is concerned is quite good. and it is due to the reason of only aging rice, and we had a cheaper stock. Naturally, today, if I say I have holding stocks so at 2,800 crore, where the market value of that stock is 3,300 crores. That is only because we are holding cheaper stocks of previous years. And this gain of 500 crore will come in financial year 23, or maybe some part in 24.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is on export business. I'm unable to join the dot. Now, if I look at in FY20, our total export sales was 2100 crores, which this year has come to around 1500 crores. And you said that in the opening comment that we lost 850 crores of sales from Saudi and Iran. So that 1200 has become 1500 because 200-300 is the sale of non-basmati rice which we did to China, Bangladesh. That is how the math adds up?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. And if we look at it, so in this 2100 crores in FY20, what was the share of Saudi and Iran? If you can give ballpark number, not an exact number.
I don't have the FY20 data with me. I can tell you the numbers for FY21.
Yeah, that will also be fine, sir. So of the 1900, what was Saudi and Iran?
Yeah, I'll just tell you. Roughly about 1100 crores.
So that became almost 300 crores this year.
That's right, yes.
Okay. Secondly, sir, my second question is on the domestic business. Now, you said we've increased the realization by 7-8%. In the presentation, we've mentioned the realizations improved by 22%. Now, if I consider a base of 10-11% increase in realization, it seems our volumes have dropped in fourth quarter 22 versus fourth quarter 21 in the domestic business. So, where has the drop been? Is it more in the Horeca segment or is it the branded business? If you can share some light over here.
From 21 to 22, there has been no drop.
See, as far as I know, there hasn't been any drop in quarter four compared to financial year 21. We've actually grown by about a low single digit, maybe 3% in quarter four financial year 22 compared to 21.
Okay, so the realization growth in domestic business would be also be low single digit.
See, 7-8% realization growth that we mentioned was purely on quarter four. However, realizations have increased throughout the year, and probably the consolidated realization increase would have been significant throughout the year, because quarter three also saw really high realizations increase. So the double-digit realization growth that you're talking about would be a consolidated number for the full financial year.
Yeah, and also the number is not just for domestic. It is an overall increase in realization.
Okay. So would it be right to say that if we compare year-on-year growth in the fourth quarter for domestic, single-digit volume growth and single-digit realization growth, that
yes.
will make the 11% overall top-line growth?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, and what would be the percentage of Horeca in this? The Horeca segment in so for the full year or for only for 4Q, if you can share.
Frankly, we don't share that information, and we will not have very accurate data on the Horeca business. You know, 25 kg bag sales are used in multiple ways in the Indian market. So any estimate that we give will not be accurate. Hence, we do not share it explicitly.
Okay, last question, sir. So I'm trying to understand what happened in third quarter results versus fourth quarter results, because this is sequentially. In third quarter, our export business was something like 380 crore, but our gross margin went down to 20%. In fourth quarter, the export business is 280 crore, but gross margin improved to 30%. If you can help us understand what exactly happened in third quarter numbers that there was significant hit on gross margin and what exactly changed in fourth quarter that even though export sales was lower, gross margins improved?
Yeah, I'll explain that. See, I think two aspects really. One is that the profile of export sales, essentially export sales mix has improved significantly in quarter four. So even though you see the revenue is lower than quarter three, however, the average realization in export is far better than in quarter three, right? And similarly, the realization has also improved on the domestic side. So one increase in gross margin that you see even with comparable rice input cost is coming through realization, which is flowing straight to gross margin.
Okay. So we had better realization sales in export market in fourth quarter.
That's right.
That supported the gross margins improvement.
Right.
Okay. Okay, I'll come back in the queue. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anuj Sharma from M3 Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you. Just a few questions. One is, you know, you just mentioned that non-basmati is 20% in export market, and realization was significantly improved in Q3, sorry, Q4. So if I compare QOQ, then and Q3 did not have Iran and Saudi Arabia as a significant part. So have we lost significant volumes in the non-Iran and non-Saudi market in Q4? Because the statements do indicate that. So what's happening there?
Actually, there was a big confusion due to freight rates, and the customers were not too much ready to bear that loss because our prices of India Gate is already quite high because we are into a branded segment. So there was little bit confusion, which was cleared after the third quarter. That was the main freight rate. You know, the freight rate have gone five times. We were paying to America about $1,500-$1,800 a container. Today, we are paying $10,000 a container. For whole of the Middle East, our average freight rate outgoing was about $400 a container, $450 a container. Today, we are paying $2,000 a container. Same way, Australia, Singapore, even to Japan, even to Singapore, you know, we used to pay only $50 per container. Today, we are paying $1,500 per container. So the container freight has really, not only we lost the business, but we became late in finalizing with our distributors.
All right. So if you could just give some outlook on the non-Iran and non-Saudi market going forward, because how would they shape up? You've given outlook on the Iran and Saudi. Just some outlook on these markets.
No, they're all positive markets now, and let me tell you, it will not be exaggerating if I say at least as far as realization and business is concerned, we might be able to increase that area also by 10%.
All right. My second question is again on the other expenses. You see, our exports have fallen by roughly 26%-27% QOQ, and the other expenses have risen by 10% again QOQ. And I presume that the freight rate would have softened in quarter four. So what led to a significant rise in other expenses, and what is the outlook there?
See, as far as freight rates are concerned, they have not come down. Only the availability of containers have eased out, number one. And that when you talk of the expenses, even the domestic freight rate from here to Kandla, we used to pay 90 rupees, 80 rupees. Now it is 150 rupees, 160 rupees. It has become higher by 70%-80%. Same way, the labor cost, everything has increased proportionately in last one year. So that is why the things are looking little bit on a costlier side.
All right. And my last question is again, you know, somebody asked on gross margin expansion, and if I look at it as our procurement is one of our core competency, and we have generally procured the inventory at a lower cost, shouldn't the gross margin expand over a period of time because we are into branded and we are procuring at a lower cost and realizations are rising? So over a, let's suppose, medium term or short term outlook, do we expand, do we foresee gross margins to be expanding, or 30% is where we believe we'll be happy with?
See, first of all, if you look at KRBL, every 2 year, 1 year, we buy heavy stocks when the prices come down. This year we are going to buy just 50% more what we procured this year, because we feel that the crop size would be quite a large crop size by 25% to 20%, 20 to 25%. And we are going to procure, which will help us as far as our gross margins are concerned for next 2 years, because we age the rice for 2 years. Partly will come in 23, partly will come in 24. So, for example, whatever stock Anupji just now told you, we are having certain stock which is 2 years old, and that 500 crore difference we are going to build up in 23 and partly in 24.
Margins would be better. Yeah.
Margins would be better.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit from Care PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Sir, initially in the opening remarks you mentioned about 400 crore of top line. So is that from Gujarat plant alone, or the all three plant put together?
No, this is from two plants, which is Gujarat and Karnataka together.
Gujarat and Karnataka both. Okay.
This is the initial top line we are saying. Ultimately, this 400 crore in next 3-4 years, it should go up to 1,000 crore.
All three put together?
Yes. It should be, I mean, even if you take Bhopal and if you talk of 3-4 year line, then the revenue can go up to 1,300-1,400 crore also.
Okay.
We are starting with 400 crores. We are just saying we are starting with 400 crores.
Yeah, but that all will come in the next year, FY24, because that's where, in fact, my question was like, in Gujarat plant we have already acquired and we are, the plant process is in place, in process. So why do you think it takes so long for us to set up this Gujarat plant, and where we are expecting revenue in FY24?
No, some revenue will come in the quarter 4 of 23, and then quarter 4 of 23, then it will be our annual target. Quarter 4, 23, we can expect a revenue of 70-80 crores.
Okay. And for this regional rice, so we are planning to do all under this Unity or India Gate, or we are planning to acquire any local brands, anything that you can share on that?
We have not decided. We have to look at it. First, we are now putting up plants. Now we'll decide. We can acquire brands also. That's not a big issue.
Okay. And you mentioned that, you know, inventory, we have kept it on lower side of around 2,800 crore. On other side, we are targeting to complete or, you know, kind of recoup our exports loss of 600 to 700 crore. So with this inventory, we would be able to achieve that target of FY23, because then it should have been, I mean, inventory could probably be short, or do you think it's enough?
No, we have a good inventory of 2,800 crore. As Anilji said, we will be very aggressive in the new season. If anyway we are short of any old inventory, we can always buy in the market where margins would be less. We won't lose the business.
Okay. Thank you and all the very best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manoj Dua from Geometric. Please go ahead.
Sir, congratulations on good set of number in this very difficult environment. I joined the call late, so pardon me for if it is a repeat question. You told that 1,100 crore sales of Saudi and Iran went down to 300 crore. What is the outlook for that going forward in 1 or 2 years?
See, as far as FY23 is concerned, I am quite confident both Iran and Saudi will bring us an additional revenue over last year by a minimum 700 to 800 crore rupees. 700 minimum to 800 crores.
Okay. So container prices was a shock for everyone. Nobody expected that kind of price. Now it has become, we know the reality what it is. So now this can be passed on to the customer?
Yeah, yeah. We have already finalized the contracts, and whatever would be the increase in freight or decrease in freight, it will be passed on to the customer.
Okay, what is the outlook? What are the present day prices? Are going down or stable there at, even at this elevated level? They are stable? Or
at the moment, there is a false rumor being spread throughout the globe that India might ban the rice exports. And because of that panic, the prices are at a higher prices, though the demand is little, because of the high prices, the demand is little less, but we are concluding business at a very good price. Because of this false, according to me, it's a false rumor. Nothing is going to be banned at the moment because we have sufficient rice stocks and it will continue like this only. At the moment, the prices are good at high prices.
Okay, and that is for non-basmati, this rumor is, no? Only specifically for non-basmati?
Yeah, I'm talking of basmati, non-basmati, both.
Okay. Okay. Really, this banning of rice, basmati, non-basmati, both, this rumor or only on the non-basmati?
No, no, it was banning of only non-basmati rice, but the panic throughout the world is in, the rumor says that they are going to completely ban the rice. So even the importers of basmati rice are also in panic.
Okay, okay. Thank you and best of luck for my next financial year.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pritesh Chheda from Lucky Investment. Please go ahead.
Sir, just can you give the color in terms of volume growth and price growth in our total revenue growth? At least that color you can share.
Yeah, for financial year 22, I can share.
Yeah.
Just one. So, total rice volume sales increased by 14% in FY22.
And balance will be price, right? There will be reduction.
Right. And the value sales you already have.
Yeah. And same do you have for 21?
No, I don't have the data right now. I can share it.
And what is the energy revenue in this?
Energy is power. You want the number?
I want the number. What is the power revenue?
It's about 110 crores.
Okay. It was 200 crores 2 years back. So now it's about 110 crores, right?
No, it was never 200 crores.
Okay. 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 Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just one question. In the markets of Saudi and all where we had launched, so where we were not able to supply the product, so have we seen a loss? So I know because the product is not available in the on the shelf, we would have lost market share, but in terms of demand, how is the demand panning out? Like, is the brand still relatively strong? Or if you can just help us understand, because I think we sell at a branded level there. So just to get a sense of how is the demand for our brand shaping up? Or
see, as far as Saudi is concerned, India Gate as a brand is the strongest brand. Even we were absent more than 2 years, 3 years, not absent, but the imports were quite lesser compared to 5-7 years back. But even then, when our new distributor got the product, he could not imagine. He distributes about 30-40 products, and his reply was something unimaginable, that he said that the goods are coming and they are on the shelf. The goods are coming and they are on the shelf. The brand is so strong.
Oh. Okay, so effectively at the demand level, you don't see any pressure. It's only ability to meet the shelf spaces where probably we should be able to achieve the sales back.
Right.
Sure. Thanks a lot. Sure.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we take that as the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments. Over to you.
Thank you. We are thankful to all the investors, and let me again reiterate that we are all set to march ahead in the path of glory and success. Overall, FY23 will be positioned for KRBL as an exalted position in the arena of rice exports, and I see very promising results. Thank you to everybody.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of KRBL Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.